title of our lesson tonight is Allurements. Allurements, and you'll want to turn to the book of James chapter 1. Allurement, it is a temptation, an enticement, attraction, fascination, temptation. There's a fascination even to go where you're not supposed to. Charm, seduction, trap, bait, a tease, allure. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted." Matthew 4:1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." I've said this before, and I'm sure I'll say it in the future. Lucifer was not afraid to tempt even God. 1 Peter 5:8-9a, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist in the faith." 2 Corinthians 2:11, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." James 1:14-15. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your holy word. And Lord, we thank these who have tuned in at this time to share in some thoughts. We pray, Lord, you would bless them, that you would encourage them, and that, Lord, you would hide me behind the cross, that your name would be honored and glorified at this time. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Our adversary is a master deceiver. He is a liar, and Jesus called him the father of liars. To put it simply, he's a real booger, and he knows your weak spot. Now, don't say it out loud, but we all have one or two or six. We're going to look at 7 tonight, areas where we are tempted. The first one is the lure of forbidden fruit. Genesis 3, if you would please. You know the story. It's of Eve. And sometimes we probably think, oh, I can't wait to give her a piece of my mind. But here we find in Genesis 3:1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Forbidden fruit. We've probably all heard of ice cream, death by chocolate. Or we've had other foods that we just think are scrumptious. And you know, the fact of the matter is there are foods that probably some of us shouldn't eat. But in our walk, in our lives, there are things that we should not do. And I could make a whole list of them and give them to you, but I think you know the ones we use and probably even one that maybe you deal with. That forbidden fruit, that object, that thing that you shouldn't have, and yet it's on your mind. And I have to wonder how much Eve walked around that tree and said, no, I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't do it. I've been told. Adam said, don't eat of it. The Lord says, don't eat of it. And then she got closer and she reached up and touched it and nothing happened. And she took it. And sometimes that's what happens. There's the allurement. It looks so pleasing. It looks so good. It looks like what I want. How sad that often it leads to, if not physical death, it leads to spiritual separation from our Lord. Number two is the lure of fertile fields. If you would, the book of Genesis, again, chapter 13. It's a story of Lot and Abram. They have great amounts of cattle, and they're having a hard time feeding all their cattle. And so Abram says to Lot, well, you choose which way you're going. And so let's begin reading at verse 10 of Genesis chapter 13. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Cana, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and the sinners before the Lord exceedingly. You know, it's one thing to have to work maybe with someone that is corrupt, vile, vulgar. Maybe someone in your family is that way. But when one chooses willingly to go and to be with someone that they know is not right with the Lord, that their lifestyle is contrary to the Word of God, well, they've made a wrong choice. And sometimes it gets us into a lot of problems. Ask Samson. Forbidden fruit, fertile fields, as he saw a pretty woman, going in the wrong direction. Number three, the lure of appetite. The lure of appetite, again in the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Oh, by the way, the first restaurant has opened up in North Dakota, and you can go there and eat even today. So I just thought I'd point that out to you, that it's not far away. You can get to go to your favorite restaurant. You won't have to order from the curb and have them bring it out to you. But Genesis chapter 25, and let's begin reading at verse 37. 25 and verse 27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point of death, or point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob sold Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright, the lure of appetites. And how many born-again believer has despised his birthright? Not his first physical birth, but a spiritual birth. He's laid it aside, or she has laid it aside, for something that they think is of more importance. A certain lifestyle, a certain habit, a certain style of living. And we put the Lord aside and said, you're not what I want anymore. This is what I want. The lure of appetite. Joshua chapter 7, and I bet you've already figured out who we're going to talk about now. Joshua chapter 7, the lure of silver and gold. The lure of silver and gold. They're going up to Jericho. There's going to be a mighty battle. And God has said that the gold and the silver is his. It is a first fruits, kind of like a tithe. They've come into the promised land, and the first fruits are the Lord's. Don't steal what is the Lord's. And we find that as Achan went up, he saw the gold and the silver and a goodly Babylonian garment. And he looked to the left, and he looked to the right, and he looked forward, and he looked back, and nobody seemed to be watching. The battle was going on, and it was just sitting there. Nobody was going to know. And so there was this desire for the gold and silver. Of course, we find Paul said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Let's read here in the book of Joshua, chapter 7. Beginning at verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers and ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. It's kind of interesting. One man stole. And God brought judgment against the whole nation. Don't ever think that your little sin won't create issues. Some long shadowed issues. If you would, the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. We find here the lure of a woman. There's much debate as to Bathsheba's motives. Was she a guilty party? Was she simply a pawn and David took advantage? My personal opinion, and it's just mine, it's contrary to my mother's, but I think she knew what she was doing. I think she went up on the roof knowing that David was there because she'd seen him in the past. I think she was just as guilty. And when David called for her, she went. David would not have killed her because she said no. He was not going to murder her. I believe she willingly went because she said, this is the king. Now, that's just a personal opinion, and you may differ, and my mother will forgive me, I'm sure, if she's right and I'm wrong. But she's not here to talk about it, is she? But if you would, beginning there in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, and it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now, let me say this. We could preach a sermon about David not being where he belonged, but we're not really told why he didn't go. Maybe he had an injury. Maybe he had some business to take care of. We're not told. All we know is that he didn't go. And now he's on the roof and he sees a woman. Now, let me tell you this. David had a lot of wives. He had an issue with that regard, in that regard. And Satan knew this. And he somehow managed to get David up on the roof and Bathsheba up on the roof, and he saw her. Now, that wasn't the first sin. The first sin was when he looked again and continued to look. And then he wanted to know who she was. And then he sent for her. And then he lay with her. One sin compounding the others. The lure of a woman. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't she married? Yes, sin upon sin upon sin. But after all, he wanted it. And what was it going to hurt? Well, let me see. The servants would know, and they would be instructed to be quiet. And then there was the one who sent to get Uriah. And then Uriah comes back, and David tries to work things to his advantage, and it doesn't work. And the next thing we know, Uriah is going back to war with his death sentence in his hand. Yes, all because he wanted a woman. Oh, but let's be careful to think it's just men who have that issue. Women also have the issue. We must be careful. We must. Which leads us to point number 7. Do you remember how many points I said I had? 7. The lure. No, I'm sorry. We've skipped 6. Oh, we can't do that. It's the lure of women. Now, the one was a woman, but here's women. If you would, 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Can I change the word from the lure of women to bad company? The lure of bad company. If you would, 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. And we can continue on as to what he did. But it was bad company. We must be careful of the company that we keep, because bad company will have an effect upon us. It will draw us in the wrong direction. It will corrupt us. Don't think, well, I can stand whatever comes my way. Well, we're told to take heed, because pride goeth before the fall. And bad company is one that we must be careful of. Now we're to point 7. The lure of false religion. If you would, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I've seen too many people get caught up in their allurements. I've seen too many people look for a religion that they could live with. I've seen too many people fall by the wayside. because they didn't like the teaching and preaching that came from our pulpit. Seducing spirits come along and say, well, you don't have to do that. You know, that's for someone else. That's just what the preacher says. Well, if the preacher is preaching the word of God, you better be careful. If you would, 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 1. The lure of false religion. And here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. I was watching a creation video, and they were interviewing some different students at a college. One said that when he was growing up, he believed in the creation that was taught. But once he got to college and the university, he said, well, I realized that I had made a mistake. And now I believe in evolution. We must be careful. Sometimes we follow false teaching because of peer pressure, because we don't want to be the one that stands out all by themselves. Be careful. Be on guard. Satan will come in any type of form that will deceive you and bring you down. Jude, beginning at verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained of this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God, grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people fall into the trap of the Eastern religions. They fall into the seduction of Native Americans, and they think, oh, that seems so nice. But the fact of the matter is, there is one way to get into heaven, and one way to be right with the Lord, and that is to follow his teachings and his precepts. Which brings us to the conclusion. Three verses, and then we'll be done for this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I think that's a pretty good verse when it comes to the temptations that come our way. Mm-hmm. The Lord will provide a way of escape. He will make it so that you don't have to go down that road. Now, let me say this. I think Eve, when she first thought I might eat that fruit, walked near it and then turned and walked away. She knew what was right. And it could have been on the third or the fifth or the eighth time that she came. What I'm trying to say is that our enemy, who is a roaring lion, seeketh to destroy us, to devour us, he'll keep coming. So make that weak spot stronger. Pray. Find scriptures. Follow after the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. You know the words. You've seen them, read them on many occasions. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Our enemy may bring things to us that cause us to be jealous or envious, to be angry. Don't let it happen. Remove it. Grab it by the roots and get rid of it. Pastor Stephen has been trying to rid our church lawn of dandelions. Man, it seems like it's an endless battle. But to get a dandelion, you have to get every part of the root. And that's what Satan does. He gets in there and he grows. Be prepared. Get the root or rip it out, whatever it takes. And then 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll read verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Where does sin begin? In your mind. That's where you have to close the eye gate to it. If you look at the different examples that we used, it was the eye gate that allowed the temptation entrance. But each one was allowed to grow. In our daily walk, be careful. Watch your mind. Keep it safe. And it will be good. With that, we'll close. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look at some people who I'm sure regretted what they did. Help us, Lord, to live lives that are honoring to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.